With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning, and welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I love this show. I love doing this show. And I wouldn't say every day, but most days I wake up and feel pretty damn lucky, very blessed to be able to get on the radio and talk about sports for a living. And that reality underpins what is a pretty fortunate, pretty lucky life for me. Have a wife that I love, kids that I love, born in, you know, won the lottery ticket, the time in human history when I was born, the country I was born into, everything. Love my life. By far, though, the best part of my day, every day, are the moments when I either, my kids get up early enough, and this isn't always because I get up early, to say goodbye to them before they go to school. Or, and this is much more often, especially since I moved back from New York to L.A., never did this in New York, when I get to pick them up from school, 2 or 3 days a week, work allowing. And they seem like small, simple things. But as much as I love my parents, my siblings, which I do, as much as I love my wife, which I do, or friends, and if you're a parent, you know this. If you're not, I'm sorry if it sounds like a cliche. You don't realize the capacity you have, you don't, to love another human being until you have children. It is an overwhelming and an incredible experience for those of us lucky enough to have that experience. And there are different phases of that. And I know that Tom DeCelestino, who's the executive producer, has not even newborn now, has a baby boy. Not one yet, but coming up on 1 year old. My daughter, Madeline, is my oldest. And the moment she was born, up until that moment, and it's not even close, greatest moment of my life. Greatest moment of my life. And the only thing that's ever matched it was the birth of my son, Henry, 3 years later. Madeline, middle schooler, Henry, third grader. And I was thinking today about how to start a sports talk radio show after another school shooting in which a number of children, as I'm sure you know, in a small town in Texas, west, 85 miles west of San Antonio, have been killed. Two teachers, elementary school teachers, 19 children. And you don't have to have kids to understand the horror of that. You don't have to have kids in the age range of these poor innocent children and these poor families who were killed. We think it sounds like second, third, and fourth graders. I happen to have both. I have a third grader and I have a couple kids. And I thought about this last night. And I thought about it all night, and I woke up in the middle of the night a few times thinking, do I want to talk about it? Because some folks are going to go one route, some folks are going to go another route today, and whether we talk about this or not, and I understand that. Did not talk to my producer about it, woke up in an email. His suggestion was my thought, which was, hey, let's address it. Because often sports, right, are a distraction. I get it. And they're entertainment. And they're awesome, and they're fun. And I have certainly done my share of sports shows that have felt at times trivial. At times it felt a little like, man, there's other stuff going on in the world. And when it comes to shootings, to mass shootings, to almost mass shootings, I have done that as well. And what I'm about, the story I'm about to share is not even remotely in the light or the context or the horror and grief of what happened in Texas. and what resonates is an incredibly deep fear for all parents who have kids. My kids got up early today, and I got to kiss them goodbye and give them a hug and tell them I love them, and I will probably not be able to pick them up from school today because I'll be doing some TV work on the NBA. But this was one of those mornings where I felt that blessing, and also, and fear is not the right word. I didn't feel that, right? You send your kids to school, and you feel like they're going to be okay. You really do. But it just occurred to me that there were 19 children who got up yesterday. I was thinking about my day yesterday and having Sam Amica and all the things you go through. 19 kids that got up yesterday and didn't come home. As I kissed my kids, and I was thinking about, I don't know, 10 years ago, I guess, maybe no less than that, when I was at LAX, and I had delayed flying to Happy Valley to do, of all things, of all ironies, to do a documentary on the aftermath, years later, of the Sandusky awfulness, which I had covered. And so I was supposed to fly out on Halloween night, if I remember this right. It's in the news somewhere. You could find it. And I stayed a day. I delayed a day, even though I shouldn't have, because I wanted to walk my kids trick-or-treating. I mean, to right, your parent, this is an important thing. Though this would have been 5 or 6 years ago, because Henry was able to trick-or-treat, my son. And I'm at a place I never fly. I'm very much a creature habit. I fly the same airlines. I'm on a totally random flight, an airline I've never flown on, at the end of a terminal LAX, and I hear gunfire. And I'm at the end where you can't really get out. And the sort of jumping to the news of this is that I was at, I don't know, 100 yards away but couldn't see the shooter, an event that could have been a mass casualty event and mercifully was not. Gunman came into LAX. You may sort of remember the news. Shot some people, and I should know this, but killed one or two. I actually can't remember. We all ran onto the tarmac, onto the runway, and it was one of those moments where I thought, oh, I actually tried to hide under a bench. You know, at a lot of airports, they have places you can sit, but I've never noticed this until this. You can't actually sleep under it because they're designed in a way they don't want people climbing under and sleeping. So I'm trying to hide under this thing, and it's pure animal panic. And I remember thinking to myself, I cannot believe I'm going to get shot in an airport and die because I randomly flew this airline and stayed for trick-or-treating. And the thing that went to me was, right, my mind went was, with all respect to my wife who I love, my parents and my friends was, I'm not going to see my kids grow up. I'm not going to see my kids grow up. And I did. Very lucky, very blessed. Shooter was taken care of. We all ran onto the tarmac. Now, in those moments, you don't know what's going on. And that's what I realized about the fear of this. Is it one person? Is it 50 people? Is it terrorists? You don't know. So I woke up today, and I was trying to say what I should. Not even today. Yesterday. Because I had to do TV all night. With Game 4, big game of the NBA Finals underway, in Dallas, in the state where this shooting happened, I was trying to think and decide, like, what do I do tomorrow on the radio show? And I recognize, I understand that when you talk about certain topics, they're going to come up on a sports talk radio show. When you talk about racism and race, or accusations of racism and race. When you talk about misogyny, or accusations of misogyny, or sexual assault. Like with the Deshaun Watson story that's in the news because of HBO. When you talk about, and this isn't normally a sports topic, but when you talk about mass shootings and elementary schools and children, people are going to get called political. And all I can say to that is, I guess I can say two things to that. One, and there's people on my timeline doing this. If you're one of those people that are shouting at me or someone else because you don't like whatever the message is from people responding to 19 children and two teachers being killed while they're at school, which is supposed to be the safest place on earth, obviously it's not, then you've politicized it. Not me. Not anybody else. Have some empathy, for God's sake. And two, I understand the expression, I don't want to politicize it, but what are politics except how rules get made, how decisions get made that impact human beings. And while we're never going to talk about taxes or abortion or what are the other hot button issues, right, redistricting, we're talking about protecting our children. We're talking about something that I think for most of us that are naturally empathetic, don't have to have kids, all I do, that resonates deeply. And obviously much more important, much more higher profile, but much bigger job to do. Steve Kerr was wrestling with the same thing. As the entire troubled country try to figure this out, try to grapple with what you think, the horror and the fear, I can't even imagine. And it's one of those things where I saw the headline, and this speaks to how common this is. I'm not going to drop it, but Sandy Hook, all of these places where this has happened. I mean, Buffalo, just a few weeks ago, at a church. that when I now see that there's a headline, you know, shooter, active shooter, maybe a shooting, one, because it always starts with very limited information. I'm never surprised. I pause, I see it, think, man, I hope those folks are okay. I go on with my day. And when the news came in that there were casualties, and I think I first saw two children been killed, I was like, oh, that's horrible. At least it's two. And then it's whatever the number was, 9. And then it's 11. And then it's 14. And now we're at 21 people and 19 children. And of course, it's horrible and the horror sinks in. What is, I think, numbing for a lot of us is the lack of surprise. I texted a buddy of mine who's in Texas, not in that area, but in Texas, who's got kids that are my age, younger, elementary. They're both in elementary school. And his response was exactly right. I wish it were surprising. So, right or wrong, should have opened the show with it or shouldn't have. This was on the minds of so many people, including, I would argue, a non-political, very emotional. Let me say this about Steve Kerr before I play this clip. Steve Kerr, pregame at the finals yesterday, is what I'm going to play you. Understand something about Steve Kerr before you call him whatever you're going to call him. Or don't, you know, whatever your sort of interpretation is here. I think most of us are pretty reasonable. I also recognize in a world of social media, it's the angriest, it's the darkest, it's the worst of us whose voices rise to the top. It doesn't represent actual reality. It just skews how we view reality. All the angry people out there, right? Most of us, I think, conservative, liberal, short, tall, black and white, whatever, are doing the best we can. Not everybody, but most of us. Remember that Steve Kerr's father was killed by terrorists at a U.S. embassy consulate when Steve Kerr was very, very young. So if there's someone who understands patriotism, understands sacrifice in the name of your country, understands violence and gun violence, different kind, I get it. But still, you know, it is a distinction without a difference if a loved one, if your father, if someone, your child is killed by a gun. Doesn't really matter. You're not interested in the context of the politics or what senators get money from what special interest group and therefore have to respond in a certain way that is totally ridiculous compared to the moment and the grieving. You don't care. So if someone understands this topic, in terms of, and I mean the grieving topic and the sadness topic and the topic of loss, and what it is for a life to be shaped by a loss that hopefully you and most of us will never experience. It's Steve Kerr. And before the game, he came to the decision in a much more important way than I suppose the decision I came to, and I'm sure other people in sports media do or don't. Before he talked basketball, he wanted to talk about what happened in this small town at this elementary school in Texas.
Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight, but I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister, brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Everything he said is true other than the number of those killed by an 18-year-old gunman who also was killed by police. High school student in that community is 19 children and two adults. The number obviously rose since Steve Kerr spoke. It's amazing how this touches so many lives. I have a cousin who I don't know particularly well. She's a lot younger than I am. Like, sweet kid, right? Was at family reunions. And she married a really sweet guy, as you know, as far as I understand it. I mean, I don't know her particularly well, right? Knew her back in the day. She would have grew apart. But her husband, great guy, sweet dude, church-going guy. I think he's an assistant pastor. I should know. And his brother, they live in the same town. Really great dude. And as I understand, right, don't know him either. And he and his family were walking in a nature preserve in Wisconsin, I think it was Wisconsin, several years ago. And a gunman, lone gunman, went to the nature preserve and shot and killed the entire family except for the mom, including their children. This is a thing that happens. And it shouldn't be political in the sense that it shouldn't be something that we say, okay. And this is true of every topic, myself included. We hear something, we hear a response or an accusation or a disagreement, it could be anything, right? And we like, okay, climate change, racial accusations of racism, whatever, economics, taxes. I'm like, okay, here's A, I'm as this or this, I'm supposed to automatically respond to this and go to this side of the aisle. And these are the politicians I support. We all do this. Shouldn't be like this on a topic like this. It just shouldn't. I read a really interesting thing the other day that I processed last night in a very different way. Obviously, we're in a time where the economy's not great, unemployment, inflation, etc. And I read a thing that was interesting, politician speaking, about how unemployment and inflation are both bad, right, for the economy, and they impact human beings. And the argument was unemployment, when the unemployment rate's high, say 10%, it really devastates individual families in ways that are different than inflation. But then inflation's much more difficult for politicians to survive. It's a lot more problematic because while unemployment's more devastating, even if it's 10% of America, there's a good chance it doesn't affect you. Inflation affects everybody, right? It's everyone who's impacted. And it made me think about the way in which this community sometimes, it's true, we can see or know or understand or give lip service that this is bad, but if it hasn't happened to us, even if it's happened to the 1 out of 10 of the people around, it's like, that's too bad, but whatever, you know, I'm going to go about my life. Got to watch Netflix. Don't want to be political. Don't want to get in an argument with my aunt at Thanksgiving. Dead children should be different. Dead parishioners should be different. It just should. And I'm not going to sit here and any longer than I have and moralize. I think Steve Kerr was 100% right. And Steve Kerr obviously has a political perspective that half of you agree with and half of you don't. And I just hope on this, you don't run to your respective corners. Those of you that disagree, I think you're wrong on this one. And those of you that agree, judging the people who are having trouble listening. There are dead children. And I got no wisdom other than sadness. And I got no power other than, I guess, 17 minutes where this is important enough. It happens enough. It's terrible enough. We are almost every one of us, I'm sure every one of us, hopefully, most of us, I hope, God, I hope, listening. It hasn't impacted us individually. But if you're like me, I don't like hugging my kids this morning and just, you know, I'm not worried is the wrong word, but thinking that thought. I mean, people are right. Like, and I get it. Look, I'm a believer. Some people aren't. And people get angry when you say thoughts and prayers. I get it. I don't mean it with no action. But my thoughts and my prayers are still with that community and that family. And we'll move on to sports. We'll talk about sports. I wish I could do more. I wish all of us could do more. I know most of us wish we could do more. But I guess all I have is 18 minutes, 19 minutes. To those poor people. We live in a democracy. If all of us agree on something, which hasn't happened in a long time, I'm just telling you things can change. That's it. That's what I got. All right, we'll do some sports. We'll talk some NBA. We'll talk some hoops. It's Writer Than You. We'll get back to the actual show next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Different show today. We're going to reset. We'll talk some sports. But all show, at least for me and for D-Cell, I know for Tom. Thoughts with, look, I know it makes people mad, but it's where my head's at. Thoughts and prayers, all I have to offer for the folks in Texas. We will get into I think it's an interesting debate on whether or not centers, whether or not top players in the NBA, when the all-NBA first, second, third team are decided upon, I'm one of those deciders, results came out yesterday, there was a philosophical debate on whether or not Joel Embiid, it really came down to Embiid, who finished second in the MVP voting, should be on the first All-NBA team. And to do that, you'd have to take him out of the center spot and vote for him at forward. NBA abdicated any responsibility and said, oh, you guys figured it out. He can go anywhere. We'll get into that in a little bit. Will Brinson's going to join me about 30 minutes. We'll talk a bunch of NFL. There's a lot going on. And we'll touch at some point on the show and maybe more thoroughly tomorrow. There's only so much ugliness I think I can take in a radio show. I don't mind hitting a note. And to those of you out there, including, I'm not going to say his name, who told me to go to do something myself anatomically impossible for the way that I started the show, I'll be much more respectful than you are, and I'll speak slowly because you're obviously not very bright. You can just go and listen to a different radio show. It'd be awesome if you never tweeted at me again. If you can't have empathy on a day like this, I have no interest in having you in my world. Go away, please. Like, go away and don't come back. But there's only so much I can do. So we'll do the Deshaun Watson thing maybe in more detail tomorrow. We'll get into tonight's Heat Celtics game. We'll do buy or sell. We'll talk some baseball. And I feel bad about this, but I'm going to do it. Maybe we'll make fun of Sam Darnold at some point because apparently he's Darnold sees himself the way D-Cell sees Trey Lance as the greatest quarterback in history, soon to be revealed for all of us. But last night, I love the way that people just overreact to single NBA games, right? Heat Celtics, after every game, it's this series is over. It's not over. I think it's 2-2. And now I woke up this morning. I knew this was going to happen. Good game by the Mavs. They made 23-pointers. That's a lot. It's a weird game. They had a leak from their roof in American Airlines Arena in Dallas that made Mark Cuban look, the only time I've ever seen Mark Cuban look humbled. A little good look on him. Kind of enjoyed it. A little bit of delay. Didn't matter. Got up by about 30. And the second team for the Warriors made a push. It was exciting. In part because I've already booked my travel. So it was a little nerve-wracking when the Mavs, win a game. Cut it to 8. They brought Steph Curry back in. Game got back up to 13. It was over. So the Mavs win. Play really well. Doncic, 30 points in that range. And all the guys around him finally played well. They made 47% of their threes, 20 of the 43. And really what happened in that game, and this isn't a big secret. It doesn't take an X's and O's genius. Jason Kidd talked about the need for this after every single one of those three losses in his post-game press conferences and his availability beforehand. He said, look, we got to play in the paint. We are big. We are taller. We are more athletic than the Warriors. We've got to stop taking hero ball threes, attack the rim, play in the paint, and that will open up our three-point shooting. It's not rocket science. It's just a lot easier said than done. When you play the Warriors, they score so quickly, it can induce panic. I've seen this so many times and covered them over the years. So you have a game plan. You're going to be methodical. You're going to move the ball. You're going to work the ball in the paint. You're going to get some easy two-point buckets. And you're just going to be like, okay, yeah, like Steph's going to rattle off three threes in a row, and the ball's going to bing around the Warriors' side offensively. And, Andrew Wiggins is going to hit a three, but you're not going to panic. You're not going to panic. And it's the old boxing thing. It's really easy to have a plan until you get punched in the face. and the Warriors punch you in the face, and you start throwing up ridiculously bad three-point shots. They're excellent perimeter defenders. They're excellent defenders. And before you know it, you're down 14 instead of 4, and the plan's gone out the window. And that's what's happened to the Mavericks in the first three games. Last night, points in the paint. They attacked the rim. They were moving and cutting. Moving the ball is the wrong term, although it did move eventually. But it opened up their shooters on the outside. Guys hit some shots, and they were off and running. Great story. Awesome job. Dallas clawed back in a little respectability. Can we please stop with the, if Dallas is going to be the first team of 147 to come back 3-0, they're not coming back. The series is over. You can be like me. You want to go to the NBA Finals? It's June 3rd. You can book the first of the six little travel trips to San Francisco. Non-refundable flight. I'm not going to refund it if I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. Maybe D-Cell will. It's all good. You can book your flight. The series is over. It's over. It's called a gentleman's sweep. The Warriors did not play with a lot of effort, did not play with a lot of energy, didn't really try, were super lackadaisical. The Mavs hit a ton of three-point shots, and the second team, not even the second team, the third team for the Warriors, the guys that never play, the dudes where you say, who's that guy? For one of the most interesting teams in the NBA, rattled off almost a 30-point comeback. This thing called effort. Tomorrow, in San Francisco, Steph Curry is going to dust off his actual try-in shoes. Draymond Green is going to do the same thing. And the Warriors are going to blow the Mavericks out of the building. Nice win for Dallas. Really impressed. Really exciting. There's not going to be a 3-0 comeback. There's just not. And let's just say the Mavs win tomorrow. Because it's not improbable. It's unlikely. If you look at the splits, if you look at the history of the NBA, one of the things that separates good players from being great players, or great players from being exceptional, is postseason performance. And one of the many things that make it difficult to be excellent in the postseason is it just feels different on the road. It's just the rims are different, the crowd, it's not the same thing. And that's for stars. That's for guys like James Harden. Role players do not tend to shoot well on the road. They just don't. You're not going to hit 46% of your threes if you're Dallas in two games against the Warriors. But I recognize, and look, if this were against a Doc Rivers team, and I'm serious, and you had Luka, and you had a top almost five defense, and you had guys that can kind of shoot, I would almost say to myself, all right, if Dallas can go into Philly or the Clippers back in the day, whatever, and win that game, maybe there's a collapse coming. Maybe. Not against the Warriors. Not against the Warriors. They're too good. They're too deep. They're too experienced. Barring an injury, the series is over. It's over. So it's a cute little story for Dallas. I'm impressed by the Mavs. It's very cool. They fought hard. They made it to the playoffs. This is just like the Trailblazers in the 18-19 season, 2019 playoffs, when Portland made a run, and they overachieved, and Damian Lillard was amazing. We're like, oh, Damian Lillard! And then they got into the conference finals. People said, well, they're not probably going to win, but anything could happen with Lillard. And then they got swept. Mavs did one better. But the Dallas Mavericks, it's going to come off the wrong way, almost don't belong in the conference finals. They're not a conference finals caliber team. Now, Luka Doncic might be, and this is me being a captive of the moment. This is recency bias falling on me and infecting me, the zombie of whatever you just saw. But Luka Doncic might be the best player in the game. He might be. It's tough. Giannis is real good. Embiid is real good. Jokic is real good. Steph is still, and LeBron are still real good. If Kevin Durant can be healthy, he's real good. Kyrie Irving's a bum. I just want to make that joke because it makes me laugh. He's not even in the conversation. Luka's amazing. And the comp for him, from a building a team perspective and accomplishing more than he should individually and less than he deserves without a team, is the LeBron comp. LeBron James has carried a bunch of bums to the finals before. And the conference finals. And you go back to both the 2015 NBA Finals, where LeBron James lost Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie played, I think, the first few minutes of game one of the finals, if I remember right. No Love, no Kyrie for basically all seven games. And LeBron put up numbers that should have made him the second finals MVP in history, behind Jerry West, to be finals MVP and lose the series. He carried a bunch of guys that didn't belong there because of the injuries, and he put up a fight, and the Warriors crushed him. And then, in 2018, if I'm doing the math right here, I think I am, without Kyrie Irving, When Kyrie's like, I want to go to Boston. LeBron took a bunch of guys. Remember, Kevin Love became a shell of himself. What's that thing where you pour water on it? Like, my kids have one. You pour water on it and like it blows up into a unicorn. You know what I'm talking about? Kevin Love's the opposite. If you pour on top of him expectation, he shrinks into the little styrofoam thing that I spend $20 on at Target when I'm like, why am I wasting my money? That's Kevin Love. Sorry, K-Love, it's true. LeBron had post, you're kind of good at basketball, Kevin Love, didn't have Kyrie, made an NBA Finals. That's Luka. The usage rate is similar because LeBron's usage rate used to be through the roof. Luka's is higher. The ISO scoring, like just LeBron going. One of the things about LeBron that's amazing, one of the lines on his GOAT resume that no one talks about, is that he's a better facilitator than is a scorer. He's still going to be the all-time leading scorer in the history of the NBA. He preferred to pass the ball. That's not garbage. It's actually true. But LeBron James has been on teams where he has led the NBA or nearly led the NBA in isolated scoring, in ISO plays. Those Cleveland teams ran more ISO plays than anybody else. Plays in isolation, and those are almost always for LeBron. Because when he doesn't have enough help, he can just go do it. Luka has the highest usage rate in these playoffs, 40%, and is by far the leading ISO scorer, meaning I'm just going to go one-on-one. I'm going to go one-on-two. He hit some shots yesterday. He had a step back on Steph Curry. And I know Steph Curry's not a defensive beast, but it was so dumb and so incredible and so talented that Luka reminds me of that version of LeBron, the LeBron without help. He's going to be incredible. He's going to put up stats. He's going to carry his team a series or two further than they deserve to be. But that's going to be it. That's it. We're here. They shouldn't be in the NBA Finals. In fact, the Mavericks aren't even in the NBA Finals. Luka's in the NBA Finals. And that's why his team only shows up one out of every two home games now against the Warriors. So eventually, the Mavs are going to put the right guys around Luka Doncic. Like, he needs a C.J. McCollum. He needs a Devin Booker. Zach Gelb, I called into Zach's show yesterday to see if Ryan Hickey would screen my call, and he wouldn't. So then I sent Zach a screen grab of me on hold, and they brought me on, which wasn't my intention. It was just to give Hickey a hard time because Hickey didn't set his fantasy baseball team lineup again. I'll get to this later in the show. And Gelb brought up Devin Booker as a great call. If things don't work out in a few years, could Booker go to Doncic? That kind of secondary scorer who's accustomed to at times taking, you know, not being the focal point, but can get the rock for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, but can you go do something? I need to rest. That's what Luka needs. The future is bright for Luka and whatever team they put around him in Dallas. But they ain't winning this series. It's over. All right, 855-212-4CBS. D-Cell, good morning. Not a normal show. I haven't talked to you yet. What's going on, buddy? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
I know you were shook up yesterday a little bit.
Yes, I watched the coverage into the wee hours last night. Being a new parent, it definitely hit me differently.
Can't watch it. I can read it now, but I got on, I don't know if the New York Times or Washington Post website, and there are photos of parents, you know. And I used to be, not a school shooting, but I've gone to people's homes who have lost loved ones. I've had to call people after 9/11. I mean, I've had to be the reporter who asked those. I'm so glad I don't do that for a living anymore. I just can't. That anguish is too much for me to consume in terms of media. I get it from your perspective. And not for us to sound like those parents, but it does feel different when you're a parent. It just does.
The only thing I felt last night was sad. I was just sad. There's no other emotion that I could muster up. It was just incredibly devastating to watch it all unfold on television.
Yeah, I got angry pretty quick. Like, I got angry pretty fast. Anticipating idiots like the guy that tweeted at me, you know, who have no sympathy. But again, the people on social media, studies show this, life shows this, they're not the normal, you know. I mean, it's the loudest on both sides of every argument are the obnoxious people. And they finally found a way through which their lack of friendships, their lack of empathy, their sad lives. And I don't mean sad like you're in your mom's basement. I just mean like people that are miserable and like other people be miserable are not happy folks usually. And they found a way through which they can amplify their misery. What did Oprah say? Surround yourself with people who lift you up, not tear you down. My granddad, because we're from Iowa, so fishing analogies, crawdad's in the can. If you ever go fishing and you get, you know, I used to get up early and get night crawlers, you know, with a flashlight at 4 in the morning, why don't you put a lid on night crawlers? Because they'll pull each other back down. Or the crawdads will do the same thing. I mean, night crawlers have trouble climbing out, but the analogy holds the same. Those folks don't matter. All right. I do want to talk about whether or not I made a mistake and not putting Embiid on my NBA, my All-NBA first team. I always want to say first team All-NBA, but it's All-NBA first team. I had Embiid third on my MVP ballot, but he could have been first. I get it. He finished second in the MVP voting, but I didn't even put him in the top five of first team All-NBA. We'll get into that debate, that approach, that accidental, I think Embiid's amazing slight, I guess, of Joel Embiid here on the show after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Erica Herskowitz.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Let me, Tom, let me ask you a question. Party foul or not a party foul? But I want to give you the context. Can I give you the context before you judge me?
Okay, okay.
Ryan Hickey, the Trace, producer of the Zach Gelb Show, aspiring radio host, very talented guy. Hope he'll fill in here someday for me. I'm a fan. We're friends. He used to associate produce me, had his own segment. We all know him. I go out drinking with him every time I'm in town if I can get away late enough. I really like the guy. Huge fan of the guy. Brought him into my fantasy baseball team. And a couple days ago, 2 days ago, because Adam Klug, who used to produce me, will just aggressively text me if someone doesn't set their lineup. It's just like over the top. Like I'm the police. It's like getting a marriage. Like Adam's my fantasy wife. He's like, you need to tell the kids to set their lineup. Like you tell the kids. Wait, they're not my kids, and you're not my wife. So how about no? That's my dynamic. So I sent Trace a little note like, hey bro, you should manage your team yesterday. Or 2 days ago. I look and I see that he has Corey Seager on his bench starting and an open utility slot and hasn't played him. And I sent him a couple texts to give him a heads up. He doesn't write back. I'm like, dude, manage your team or Klug's going to write me. And he did. Sent me like 9 notes about it. And I'm busy. I have another job. Here's the other context. I used to sometimes call into the line, the 855-2124-CBS, because I'm a fan of the network and I really like Zach and I like his show. And a couple of times he'd say something or make a joke. I would call in just for like a brief, hey, can I, he'd invite people to call in, I'd call in. And Trace would never pick up the phone. And I would keep calling back, he'd do auto hold. What do you be like, hey, CBS Partners, auto hold. So like, I told Zach once, and he kind of thought I was joking, but I told Trace, but he got into the phone, bro, I'm going to call in more. So yesterday I'm sitting there, and I'm like, all right, it's like, you know, it's 6:20 Eastern, 6:15 break. I used to host that slot. I know Zach takes calls. And I'm like, I'm going to call Trace and give him a hard time for not managing his team. I'm going to just, like, say hi to Zach real quick. Call in, auto hold. Like, not just, like, you know, like, click, click. And I listen to the commercials for a while. I'm like, come on, man. And then Zach starts talking. I'm about to hang up, but the show's really good. It's funny. He does his little bit, his hockey bit about being distracted. I was really laughing. I really like it. Then I'm like, to hell with it. So I take my phone, do a selfie with me on the phone with a mad face, and text them both with a message that says, what happens when Trace won't screen the call and you're on hold? And I'm about to hang up, and I hear Gail be like, whoa! And it was immediate. Like, whoa! Like, Gail's in the middle of a really funny rant. Whoa, wait! I got a text message, and you got, don't look! Yeah, I know you didn't look. And then brings me on. Party foul or okay?
I sympathize here a little bit with Ryan Hickey. I do not do auto hold. I don't do that.
Okay, because I did take a shot at you. I'm going to get to that in a second.
Okay. Okay. I do sympathize with why Ryan does it. I understand it. Not that I do it myself. I would never. I'm going to say not a party foul because you and Ryan are close. He needs to recognize your phone number. He has to know.
To be fair, I do call. I have a landline in L.A., and this is a name drop thing or whatever, but I live in a tiny little shack. But apparently a famous person used to live here-ish and got some crazy block number I can't get undone. So my number will come up blocked or it will come up private. Now, I've checked. It comes up as my landline. It comes up with a number, but it maybe is harder to recognize. But I've called 11 times and done this and just texted Ryan like, bro, pick up screen your calls.
You've stated this is not the first time this has happened. He's got to know. He's got to know. No party foul.
All right. Gelb did say, D-Cell would never do this right, and you can go listen to the clip, but I believe I said some version of, I don't know. I think he's doing it. Now I think everybody's doing it. And I said, like, philosophically, if I thought D-Cell even 50% believed in phone calls, I'd give him a 90% chance to screen, but I think he's a 3% phone call guy. I think he's not screening.
One, thank you for having my back. I appreciate that a lot. And
I think
3% is high, actually. I'm surprised I'm surprised you went that high.
I don't know if I said this, but I'm like, D-Cell thinks it's his show half the time. And he's like, I don't agree with that. I'm not doing it. Like, okay, man.
I would never say that to you. I would never feel that way.
You say it with your face way too often. Way too often. All right. So because I did kind of call out Trace to – it's an interesting dynamic. Gelb is not Trace's boss, just like I'm not your boss, but there is an interesting sort of power imbalance there, one could argue.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Yesterday, I also heard Maggie and Perloff talking about squirrels, and I'm not allowed to play it, but I can't play it. But I'm just going to tell you that if you missed the squirrel segment and Rich Ackerman, who I love, there were some great moments. There were some great moments about squirrels and why they're scary or not scary and some of their characteristics and features and some of their actions that are interesting in or outside of the context of the conversation. That's all I got. Maggie's afraid of squirrels. I'm not afraid of squirrels.
I am terrified of squirrels. They are not a friendly animal whatsoever.
Dude, like, that's not true. Some of them are friendly to feed them. And I get it. We have rats in L.A. because it's like New York, because there are fruit trees everywhere. It's not like New York. New York rats are looking for, like, thrown away pizza in the subway, and L.A. rats are looking for oranges growing from trees in paradise. It's a little, but, like, yeah, they're gross. They don't like them. I saw one a couple weeks ago when I was walking. I don't love them, but they're not squirrels. Why would you be afraid of a squirrel?
Because if a squirrel thinks that you are, trying to intimidate them, they come right after you.
No, what kind of squirrels are you, what are you talking about? No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. I mean,
squirrels aren't aggressive creatures.
I haven't had a squirrel actually attack me, but like.
Okay.
Maggie is not the only person I know who is afraid of squirrels.
Do you know what's an aggressive creature or water moccasins? I was once fishing. I did a lot of fishing when I lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, my first newspaper job. And I was on crutches because I think playing basketball. And I like hobbled down to the rocks. I was fishing. Yeah, we're not going to get to Joel Embiid. Embiid, sorry you didn't make first team. That's the story. And a water moccasin attacked me. Like came up out of the rocks. Because they'll do this if you're, I don't know why they do it. I'm not a snakeologist, which is not what it's called. And I had to hop. I was like one legged, drop my trout rod and reel, and I'm like hopping up, and I fell into the bushes, and I screamed, and I thought this water moccasin was going to get me because I don't like. And this old man, this old 80-year-old man, I heard because he was on the dock. I was in the. I hear, ha, 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 he get you. No, man.
Wow.
But wow. That's not funny.
He didn't try to help you at all.
Water moccasins are scary. Squirrels, kind of little creatures that like nuts and berries. And what else do they eat? Berries?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Berries, nuts. They don't eat worms, right? I don't think they eat worms. Insects?
No.
All right. Cute little creatures.
I'm sort of in between. I have not had a bad encounter with a squirrel, but I get it. I get it.
Thought Maggie Perloff made me laugh. And Gelb made me laugh. Trace just made me disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know if you and Trace are on great terms right now. I don't know if you were to text him. I don't know if you'd get a response right now.
I did keep Stuart Kovacs, his buddy, updated in real time on the screen grabs. And it's in there. It's the second segment of the Zach Gelb show yesterday. I like Gelb. I like his show. I like Zach.
I
like Trace.
I totally agree. I don't know if you like Trace.
I love Trace.
I think that's open to interpretation.
No,
right
I love
now.
Trace. But you got to screen the calls. The first time was 6 months ago. I think I told him last time, bro, you got to screen the calls because I'm coming for you now. Coming for you. All right, Will Brinson is going to join me. We'll talk some NFL if D-Cell answers the phone, if he doesn't pull Trace next year on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.